Introduce our first speaker, Beverly.
Hi, my name is Beverly and I'm an addict. Of course, I'm nervous.
Of course.
I said, there's a lot of people in here. And I didn't think they were going to be. It's a step meeting. I'm an addict, and my clean date is January 25th, 1993. My home group is the Women's Step Meeting. Meets on Saturday at 12 noon, and I have a sponsor. And those are the things they told me to do when I got here. And I've been trying to figure out, why I'm speaking on 7, 8, 9. I mean, because most of the time, I believe nothing's out of order. My very first sponsor used to tell me that, there's nothing out of order. No such thing as luck, coincidence, chance. It's always, God working in my life. And, by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I was stripped of everything, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Very angry addict. And just to talk about God was, and I heard one person say this wasn't a religious program, and I grabbed onto that. That was my out, and I really thought that I could recover in this program without having God in my life. I was convinced that I could do that and that I would use the group, my sponsors and, you addicts, as my source of power. And that worked for a very long time. It really did work. But at some point, what I realized was that you're addicts just like me, and y'all fall short just like me, and all the expectations that I had placed on you guys, y'all weren't meeting up to them. And I could always hear, my very first sponsor saying in my head all the time, at some point, Beverly, you're going to have to find a God. You're going to have to find a God. And it took me about 6 years in this program to really try to begin to develop a relationship with the God of my understanding. And, at step three, I sort of just really did that, with enough concern, I guess, to just go on with the rest of the program. But by the time I got to step seven, I really knew that at this point I needed a God. I needed to have a relationship with God. And my first introduction to this step was really explicit in the relationship I was in. I laugh because relationships are always my areas of growth. I had been in this relationship for a while, someone I had used with and came into the program with, and we try to get clean together, yada yada yada, just gonna run off into the sunset. Well, none of that worked. And in and out, back and forth, and at some point he had gotten to this other relationship, and I couldn't handle it. I had lost it. Yeah, I was at 6 or 7 at this point, and this one particular day that I'm remembering, I was caught up in probably every defect of character that you probably could think of. I was consumed totally because the one thing that I wanted to do was change his mind. I wanted him back. that was it. Little did I know then at that point that I had made this man my God. you know, when he had decided he didn't want to be a part of this relationship anymore, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I barely kept my job, you know. I would wake up in the middle of the night, so like this bell would go off, ding, and I'd just go, you know, I got to go try to find him and, you know, make him change his mind. Well, this one particular day, I happened to be in front of his house, and we had been arguing back and forth, and he's trying to get me to go about my business, and, you know, I do what I do, defined and all of that. And, you know, God sent these two angels down the street. Now, the first one was a gentleman in the program, had some time, he pulled over. He said, "Beverly, you all right? Come on, get in the car." And I refused. You know, he tried to convince me, and I refused, so he took off. The second person was my sponsor. Tried to get me in the car, still I refused. Now I'm caught up. I'm caught up in anger, fear, pride, jealousy, envy, betrayal, all of that. I'm just consumed, you know, enraged. And here it is. Because God is the only one that could get me out of those. God, I couldn't get myself out of that. You know, and he said, and I recognize for me that God works through people, you know, for me. He's never come down in front of me and say, you know, "Beverly, I want you to do A, B, C, and D." He works through people, and my job is to be obedient, you know. And at this point, I was not. I was not obedient. You know, I told him, "Leave me alone." I was comfortable in the pain that I was in. And you know what? They did just that. And it went downhill from there. You know, refusing to see God's help in removing me of all those defects that was causing me so much pain and grief. You know, I went to jail in this program 3 times, acting out, you know, kicking doors in, just full of anger and rage. And not realizing that I really didn't have any relationship with God. You know, I had made another human being my God. You know, and at some point, I met a gentleman. And my intentions was to begin to date this man just so that I could take the focus off of the man that I was obsessing over. And it worked. But see, you know, my God always has a plan for me. I just don't know it, you know. I don't know it till after I get to the other side, what the plan was. I started to date this guy, and I was able to take the focus off the other guy for a minute. But what I found out was that this guy introduced me to the God of my understanding. And what he did was he invited me, you know, to his church one Sunday. And I said, "I don't do church. You know, I don't do that. Only time I'm in the church is if I'm in a meeting, you know." And, you know, so he said, "Well, just come one time. And, you know, if you don't like it, you don't have to come back anymore. You know, just come visit with me." And I did. And since that day, it seemed like my life had took on a whole different meaning. You know, I'm not a regular churchgoer, and you know, I'm not one who gets caught up on religion. But what I realized was that my spiritual faith was in the wrong thing, and what I had to do was I had to be stripped of everything, so that I could have, you know, his complete attention. And that was a painful thing. You know, at first I had lost the home I was in. You know, I had to resort moving back to an Oxford house. And lost a man. I mean, I was resorted back to almost, I felt like I was a 30-day newcomer just coming in. You know, I had 5 years clean time at that time. And I remember moving into this Oxford house with all these new women. And, you know, they were kind of reluctant to, associate themselves with me because I had all this time. And they were intimidated. And I was very uncomfortable with that. You know, I would come to meetings and start crying because all I wanted was these women to accept me and love me. And they, you know, people wasn't understanding. It was like, Beverly, they just newcomers. It didn't really matter. You know, I was still looking for that outside acceptance, you know, and really I should have been looking to the God of my understanding. And, I began, after, you know, starting to date this guy, I began to begin to build a relationship with my God. And it's funny, he's passed now. And I knew when he passed what his purpose in my life was for. And nothing more. Now, I mean, I had other ideas, you know. We were going to get married, you know. And, you know, just to show you how funny it is, you know, don't let me, you know, get into a relationship and then have some sex. That really would, you know, because then I really get caught up on emotions. Yeah, I'm really in love then. You know, I couldn't even do that because of his illness. So that really, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I got this gentleman in my life and I can't do what I know how to do, you know, to avoid looking at all the shortcomings that I'm dealing with. So I'm forced one more time to go to one who has all power. And, And after he passed, it was clear to me. The message was clear. And I really began to develop, embrace, appreciate my pain, you know. What I realized is that all of my, what I want to consider successes, is a result of him and nothing that I've done. And I haven't gotten nothing unless I've actually went through some pain. I don't know about anybody else, but most of all of the things that I have appreciated in my life today has come as a result of something painful, you know, that I've had to go through without using. And, you know, I think some of the most humbling things that I had to do when it came to the eighth step was that I really had to take a look at the people that I had harmed. Now, you know, well, there's something about an addict like me. I really want to convince myself and really believe that I really harmed no one but myself. You know, I thought about that. I thought like that when I was out there using, because by the time, you know, I was really in my active addiction, my foster mother had put me out. You know, I lived a homeless life for 17 years, you know, no fixed address. My foster mother or parents didn't give me an opportunity to rob them and steal from them and all that, because they saw the disease. They was like, oh, no, you out of here. You know what I'm saying? And so I came in here in denial because I heard y'all talking about doing all those things, stealing from your parents and all that. And I was like, that ain't me. You know, I lived homeless, and you know, I earned my money for my drugs. You know, tricking. I ain't do none of those things. So who I hurt? You know. But what I and thank God for sponsorship. You know, what I realize is that I did hurt them. You know, what I've deprived them, and what I took from them was, number one, peace of mind. You know, my foster mother, what I found out later on after coming in here is that she really believed that it was something that she had did that wound up making me the way that I was, you know. And, there was some dysfunction in my family, but guess what? I ain't want for nothing. You know, had a good education. You know, took me to the doctor, had, you know, food in my refrigerator, clothes on my back. There was two parents in the house, you know, so I lived in a good neighborhood, you know, so it wasn't them, it was me, you know, and I didn't know that I had burdened them with that. And, you know, I remember when I was doing my eighth step with my sponsor, you know, I struggled with putting them on the list because I really didn't think that I hurt them. And, you know, she told me, Beverly, you know, pray. You know, just pray for the willingness. I was like, yeah, all right, whatever. You know, by this time I was going, you know, to visit them, holidays, Christmas and Thanksgiving. And this one particular visit, we were sitting in the living room, and my foster dad asked me, had I seen this HBO special that came on TV, and I told him no. And it was supposed to be about substance abuse. And so he put it in the VCR, and it was these different addicts sharing their, you know, experience, strength, and hope. And I'm laughing as they're talking. You know, they're looking at me like I'm crazy. You know, and they're like, what are you laughing at? And I said, because I can relate, you know. And what it did was it gave me an opportunity to share my story with them because they had no idea. They had no idea, you know, what I had been going through, what I had went through. You know, all they know is that all of a sudden I popped back up and I claimed that I was clean, you know. And by the time I finished sharing my story with them, you know, they were both in tears. And when I left there, it was almost like a newfound relationship. And when I went back home, I was able to put them on the list. You know, and actually I really got a double whammy because I think it was an immense process as well. And what I found out is that, and you know, my ninth step, I don't go looking for the amends. It happens. I'll know when it's time. You know, it'll be right there for me in front of me. I don't have to go planning it and, you know, trying to arrange it and all of that. It'll just come. You know, but you know, these three steps are such a they're steps of humility. Because I feel good when I pump myself up to think that I'm, you know, I'm all that and I'm doing something. And these steps, it sort of like takes the pen and just blows all that air out of me, you know, and I feel like this, you know. And it's not about saying I'm sorry, because, I mean, shouldn't everybody know that, you know, I've been sorry in my life. You know, it's really not about saying I'm sorry. It's about living a new way of life, not doing the things that I used to do. Before coming here to this convention, and this is when I realized why I'm sharing on these steps. I was in some emotional pain and some turmoil. Now, you know, I'm that man that I talked about that I chased. I stalked. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's my husband today, right? But I ain't stalk him into the marriage now, you know. I didn't do that. That was of his own free will. But what I did was, by this time, I had allowed myself to sit still with myself for a couple of years and really get comfortable with Beverly, you know. And once I did that and placed my guard first, everything that I guess I always wanted and desired started to come. And it's just about getting out the way and getting out of the driver's seat. But when I was coming down here, I was in some emotional turmoil and pain because my shortcomings, one more time, insecurity, lack of trust, not letting go of the past. You know, I'm. Well, he's sitting in here, so, you know, he knows me. I tell the truth, you know. When I get up here, I don't have no control over what comes out of my mouth. I prayed already, and I've asked God to speak through me. But I'm here to report, you know, if you really haven't done any work on yourself, you know, and you're going into a relationship or a marriage and you're bringing that baggage with you, you know, you're going to have some problems. And I'm here to report. And you know what? The funny thing is for me, and I'm talking about me, see, I took a vow before God when I married this man. And what I said was, you know, for better or worse, through sickness and health, to death do us part. This is what I said. Now, I've made many a promises to God. If you get me out of this one, I'll never do it again. And the moment he get me out of it, guess what I do? Again. So now what do I do this time? It ain't going my way. He ain't acting like I think he should be acting. You know what I'm saying? So now what do I do? See, for real, the little girl inside want to pack her clothes up. You know, I want to pack up my little toys, pack my clothes up. I don't want to play no more. You know what I'm saying? But Beverly, this ain't no game. This ain't a game. It's time to grow up. So I held them hostage all couple of weeks about something I believe that he did. Now, I said believe. I don't know for sure, but I believe it. That's my belief, my thinking. And I'm confident. These are my thoughts. These are my feelings. And he says to me, okay, you're entitled to your thoughts and your feelings, and you stay in that pain. You know, and so now I'm mad. What you mean? I'm not going to stay there with you. Now, you know, I think that, see, I like thinking that I could have something over somebody. Because if I think I got something over you, then I could pull your strings like a puppet. You know what I'm saying? And that, what it does, it gives me a false sense of power. But for real, Beverly, you ain't got no power. And what I realized before coming to this workshop, I was sitting on a bench with someone. In fact, it was a gentleman who spoke at the last workshop, and we were sharing. And what I realized after sharing with him and getting honest is that it ain't even about my husband. None of this is really about him. It's about my faith and my trust and my dedication to two things: Narcotics Anonymous and the Program of Recovery, which is a gift, and my faith and dedication to the God of my understanding that I said I found. So he's the one and the only one, because one more time I resorted back to looking to another human being to relieve me of whatever it was that I was feeling. I wanted him to tell me what I think I thought that was true. You understand what I'm saying? So that I could feel better. You know, one more time, I'm giving somebody else some power over me. Then I thought this, and it said it in the literature as I was reading it. You know, I could do wrong. I fall short. You know, when it comes to the step seven, I'm always going to fall short. You know, the growth is that I can recognize it when it's coming, and I don't have to stay stuck in it as long as I used to. See what I'm saying? I know once I'm in it, all I got to do is pray and ask for some help, and he will help me. I know this, that I knew that I needed at that point to go back to my God and ask him to help me with my thoughts and feelings. See, I fall short. I want you to forgive me. I want you to understand that I'm not human. I mean, I'm human, so I'm going to fall short. But don't you fall short. You can't fall short with me. You supposed to. You supposed to you know, A, B, C, and D. You in recovery. You work in the program. How dare you? You know, and it's just not like that. So my ability to let go and let God. And you know what the funny thing is? A few addicts told me all weekend long, Beverly, why don't you let that thing go? Why don't you let that thing go? And here I go, no. My justification, I always used to let things go. I'm standing for something today. Stand for something or fall for nothing. I'm holding on. That's what I said. I'm gonna deal with it, you know, because that's what I do. I stuff and I push past. Well, yeah, that's true. Okay, I stuff and I push past, but this time I'm not stuffing, Beverly. I'm talking about it. But at some point, I gotta let it go because I can't fix none of this. Okay, Beverly, what if it's true? Whatever it is that you think is true, then what? What you gonna do? So I prayed, you know, and I asked God to help me. And I guess right now is my letting go point. I guess this is what that's coming out of my mouth. Is I'm letting you know, or letting my husband know, I guess, that I'm letting go, you know. You know, he's been trying to be nice to me all weekend. You know, I told you, don't give an addict like me some power. Or, you know, even let me think I got some power. Because I'll carry it to the hilt. And see, you know what? My God has been blessing me because here we go. We're talking about an addict who came off the out of the parking lot garage on top of 10 blankets in the middle of winter, 5 degrees below zero. You know what I'm saying? Living a homeless life for 17 years. I was convinced that I was going to die in the alley with no identification. They was going to name me Jane Doe. I was convinced of that. We're talking about an addict who now is married. She works for the federal government. She's getting ready to graduate for the bachelor's. She's going to get a master's degree. She's just launched her own business. She's got people who are helping her move forward. Friday before the leaving to come to Thursday, before leaving to come here, my supervisor called me in the office and said, Beverly, I want to congratulate you. You just got a cash award. Now, all these blessings that come my way, and I want to hold on to what? See, they tell me if I hold on to anger and resentment, fear, insecurity, jealousy, envy, all that. If I hold that on to that and it's filled up in here, then there ain't no room for God to add nothing else in there. And if he tried to, it's only going to poison anything new that he put in there. So I got to let go. All I know is that Narcotics Anonymous, this program has definitely been good to me. You know, there's just so many people in here that have been an instrument to my recovery, you know, to my life. Today, yes, my relationship with the God and my understanding, it is personal. You know, I don't have to stay stuck as long. That's the beauty of this thing. I don't have to stay stuck as long in pain like I used to. All I got to do is just open my mouth and ask for help. And trust me, once I open my mouth and ask for help, it's done. My responsibility is, Beverly, are you going to be obedient when it comes? And that's a tall order for an addict like me. So I just want to thank y'all I want to thank the program committee for asking me to share. I hope I helped somebody, and I'll keep coming back.
For our next speaker, we have Alexa.
I'm an addict and my name's Elester. And for the grace of God and the fellowship and Archives Anonymous, I'm clean today. And I am internally grateful. I really am. You know, and I want to extend a warm welcome if you're new to Archives Anonymous. And I want to let you know that just for the day, you never have to use again. But I want to let you know this. It ain't just don't use. You know, it says in our literature that if you want what we have to offer, and you're willing to make the effort to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that made our recovery possible. Listen, I work steps, but I live principles. I need to say that again. I work steps, but I live principles. And I can't do nothing without him. Nothing. I got the Narcotics Anonymous January 15th, 1988. Broke, battered, bruised. My best thinking got me a seat here. Not my worst. Dumb guys right there know my story. I came out the house. So I want to welcome you if you're new. You ain't got to go to the curve to beat the Narcotics Anonymous and stay from the curve. I'm telling you, you don't. It's from the White House to the crack house. I fit in there somewhere. That's for the people who got to be beaten. Man, God bless me January 15th, 1988 with the most awesome thing that I ever could imagine. And I was clueless when it happened. I just said, you know, get me out of this. I'll do anything you want me to do. And I woke up and I was in Narcotics Anonymous. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. You hear me? I was living life with no instructions. I had no substance, no self-worth, no dignity. I had that fake stuff. I had that material stuff. I had people. I had places. I had things. But I didn't have me. And I didn't understand why I wanted to kill the most valuable gift that God could ever give you. What was wrong with me that I wanted to kill the most precious thing called life? I need to know that. And it was the only place that I could come and find out what was wrong with me. So they were sharing the life-saving, transforming message when I got the Narcotics Anonymous. They said, if we want to use, we ask you. So I was like, ain't got to worry about me. Because, see, I wasn't no addict. I just was I used drugs. See, I always like to talk about the reason why I needed steps. See, I needed steps because I could not identify with the fact I was an addict. I didn't know I had a disease. I didn't know I was powerless. I didn't know my life was unmanageable. I didn't know the mastery of my disease was my total self-centered. That was the insanity. That was all in the first step. And that was like too much to bear. I just want to stop using. Now y'all gonna tell me I'm all that. No, I'm not all that. You're all that. That's why I thank God that this is a repetitious program and that you got to keep coming in here and listen to the truth and not listen to your damn self. You know, it's a hell of a thing to be trapped in a body where your mind don't give a damn. Listen, my best thinking got me to see here, then get here and think you can think. That's some funny stuff. Back kicked in. Man, I was messed up when I got here. And my most thing I was scared of, because I didn't have that thing that what would happen to you wouldn't happen to me. That was one of my gifts. I knew that if I would have kept going down the route I was going, I'd be just like my girlfriends. I knew that. And I think God knew that I didn't have that level of tolerance to pain to keep on going. God knew that I could not go no farther than January 15th, 1988. I wanted to die. January 15, 1988, I wanted to die. I thought that dying was better than living. If I had to take one more shot, I wouldn't want to live no more. And I need to find out, because it talks about the solution. See, I was in a spiritual dilemma. And the solution is spiritual in nature. So we're dealing with some spiritual matter, not people, places, and things. You know, we realize that our greatest strength comes from spiritual stuff. This might go, you know, a lot of times I start shit like this, people are like, damn. But I am not here no longer to come up. I'm no longer here how many degrees you can get. I ain't no longer, me, this, that, is my story. I know what it is like to chase dreams and miss reality. I have all that stuff on the outside. I'm talking about clean. And it still ain't got you. Still ain't got no trust. See, I don't know what kind of steps, you know, she took. But when I got to my sixth step, I was thoroughly waxed. I did not know I was that sick. I was like, these people is out they mind. That's what the sad part. I woke up one day and realized I was out my mind. And I was just like y'all. They were sharing it and shit. I was just like, not me. I never. I used to be like, all I need is, you know, initials in front of my name. Fall down with the best of them. Speak in tongue. You know, all that dumb stuff. All that stuff outside of you that ain't spiritual. It's religious. I didn't even know what spirituality was. I had to ask my sponsor. Because so many people think spirituality is a relationship with God. No, it's something God want to do in me so he can use me as his vessel. And sometimes I got to give up the very thing I don't want to give up in order to do that. So I need a seventh step. And my son, look, I ain't one of them people who, you ain't got to beg me to get entirely ready. All I got to do is look back from what y'all came from to this moment, and I get entirely ready. I don't know, some people got amnesia, forget. When they couldn't stop. I still remember what it was like. I don't listen. People be talking about they don't never want to use it. I don't never want to get clean again. Because they say the 12th step is a guarantee against relapse. That if I don't completely change, not half, I'm talking all the way. And I'm going back. And I don't know about nobody else. That shit is too dangerous for me. I don't ever want to go back to the torturous existence brains that I once knew. And sometimes when you're at the 7th step from the 6th step, you be like, maybe, and maybe, it might be better back then. And you go on a self-will run till you back yourself in the corner where you damn near almost come out clean, be ready to admit suicide clean. I remember ready to jump off the curb at the Boulevard saying, should I live or should I die? I'm talking about clean on the 6th step. After coming here, talking about we offer freedom and you still miserable. Because you're trying to find freedom and you're trying to find peace inside from somebody else. Or in another degree, or another car, or another piece of jewelry. And guess what? In the end, none of it worked. It didn't work in active addiction. It don't work now. That program promised freedom from active addiction. Not drugs. Drugs was my major problem, but addiction is my ultimate problem. And unless that thing is put under arrest, page 74 and relapse recovery, you sign your own death warrant. So I needed to, you know, humble myself and recover. Because 7 step really help you with the obstacles to keep you from recovering. I need to wake up every day and say, God, your will not mine be done. Especially on the days I don't even want his will to be done. Every day. I don't want them people who play with my will, because I understand in the first 3 steps when I was laying my foundation, I didn't have nobody let me play games with my life when I got here. They kicked my back in. They don't want my act. Them did the first step alone whooped me real bad. Then in the second step, they told me I don't have no God, no faith, and no Sandy. You know, I need to be insane. You know, I need to be restored. Then in the third step, they say, you know what? Because you so messed up your will and your life, you better give it to God. And they said, you ain't even got to have a God relationship to get this step. You just need to have the concept. So I was working that thing and didn't even understand it. I believe what worked for my sponsor, it worked for me. You know, I got people, this is my process. No, they say the I has to die so we can live. They walk around here with these buttons and say, we do, be we do. Be we goddamn do. Do what we do. Listen, the lyrics say, do what we do. If you want what we have, they said to me, that means that everything that I know about the truth got to die so we can live. Everything. You know, we hate that somebody try to take our privilege to think and it's been gone. My privilege to think been gone. When I was 5 minutes before I get ready to share, I'm like a mess. Because my thinking say you ain't got nothing, you ain't worth nothing, what they want to hear you for. I'm telling you what my thinking saying. God be saying, baby, guess what? Because you have been being not just, see, it's a hell of a thing when you work the program, but it's a more beautiful thing when you live it. See, when you live the program and you get to a seventh step, you be like, pop up, fist, fist, oh, what relief it is. For real, I do not have to run my own life. And guess what's more beautiful than that? I got all these people that help me run it. They're my eyes and ears. They see me about to run into a brick wall. I got people in my life that tell me even you don't like it. They ain't going to let me die. Sorry. They tell me in a minute, don't remember who got you here. Don't look, your mind. One thing y'all taught me, Zion, when we was in Philly, and I'll never forget, I love y'all. Y'all told me that my mind was my friend Young. You told me that I had damaged my mind so bad, please run it past somebody else. See, I don't know about nobody else's seven steps. See, my seven step was like, it was a relief for me. Just finally to be able to let go and let God. I'm talking about completely with all areas of my life. Not some, because you know, you'll give them one area, but you don't, you know, I give them everything, but you can't have my sexuality. I give you that, but you know I ain't not having no sex. You know what I mean? Look, I give you that, but I can give you, you know, things that's material. That's easy to get back anyway. You can get, listen, people that use drugs get degrees. People come in here with degrees, doctors, lawyers. We, most of us, just ain't had nothing. You know what I mean? I done met some people who already had it when they was using. In this process. But you know, sometimes our minds are so minute, and what God is trying to do through the step process is raise our standards and raise our minds. We be stuck. I don't know. I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. Please. Somebody better tell me what to do. Let me do what I want to do. And guess what? I usually end up in a fetal position. Because when the euphoria wear off, I see the ugly side of addiction. And when that joint come, I don't like it, Brian. To wake up, you know, after you don't, you know. Got married, went down the aisle, all cute. Then when the work come, you be like. Listen, I was in this program a long time, right? And one of the things I used to be like this. I'm never going to be by myself. This is no, I go on a cliche run on you. God didn't say it was bad for people to be alone by themselves. Blah, 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 blah. I used to go off because I had such a level of self-hatred in me. I did not want to be with me. But if you're going to live this program, everything begins and ends with me. And I need to heal from the inside out, not outside in. I might look recovering, but you can tell when I'm recovering when I open up my mouth. Am I still self-consumed? Or I'm really, 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 really here today for somebody else and let them know that the steps offer you freedom and unlimited growth. And I don't care where you at now, there's more to get. Unlimited growth. One day you wake up and realize the most precious thing that ever happened to me was God had took me and brought me to a program with some substance and some value. Guess what? Because of the step process, I got purpose in life. And I'm no longer dealing with spiritual theory. I deal with spiritual reality. I can feel your spirit. I know there's something wrong with you. Now, I don't know when that happened, but it happened. She said, stuff happened in this program that words fully can't explain. So I can't even go there. You know what I mean? But this stuff happens. You know. I need to call Frankie. He's going through something. He's all you. You call him, oh, damn, how did you know? Because God be using you. I don't know. A lot of people might not believe like I believe, but the eighth step made me realize through writing. You know what I mean? Through writing. See, I always like to talk about my experiences through the process that gave me the condition because God was trying to take something and strip out of me so he could put something in me. See, what the steps do, like, you know, this is the cleanup part right here that helps you with that other part that you tried to lay in the beginning that you had to lay because you wasn't working with nothing. I wasn't working with nothing, Brian. I needed to lay a foundation. Now I got to build on the foundation. So God got to strip me to help me see how messed up I am so I can see how much I need him because I was God-defiant. I even took that joint, God's my understanding, and ran with it. You got your card, I got mine. You know how we be. And don't be having nothing. When the time comes, hell and high water, what you got then? Because reality of this, it's going to be a hell and it's going to be a high water. What you're working with then? Do you use another newcomer or do you stay by yourself and wait on God? You're talking about harm reduction. See, after you write the list, you can no longer deny. See, I done wrote so many lists. Last time I wrote the list, I was like this. Because, you know, I was one of them addicts who always said, I hurt so many people because I used to sell dope. You know what I mean? So I could never put all them people on my list that I hurt. You know what I mean? So I was always looking at all the people I hurt and all that stuff. And this time, you can't keep looking at everybody else. This time, I had to look at me. And I got in touch with most of all, I harmed myself, wanting what I want when I want it, manipulating the kind. And guess what? Look, I would compromise my spirit at all costs. That's a hell of a thing. Do you want somebody to love you and you don't love your damn self? You want this perfect marriage and you fucked up. You know what I mean? You want to be in this awesome relationship and you never took time to heal in the process. See, anything worth having is worth working for. I found out in the 8th step that I need to learn how to survive my emotions and not cause other people's harm while I'm trying to get through the other side. Because usually, like she said, everything is begins with me. And it usually be my own discomfort. Because all my defects come from what? They rooted in low self-esteem, insecurity, and fear. Anger, resentment, and fear. All of them. It's all about me. If you ain't doing the way I say do it, then you screwed up. And really, I'm screwed up. H-Step made me realize that I can consist in the world around them and allow you to have your own process. And your process don't be mine. See, I know this. They told me my spouse, they listen to their story. But you know how aggressive your gruff and grown we is. If I don't get them, somebody else will. Mothers ain't got no fourth and fifth step, and you going to get in a relationship with somebody that don't even like themselves. How they going to love you? Then we tell you, and then you get mad because you hate over and over again. But you do it anyway. They're getting bad in our kind. Now, don't get mad with us. Get to stepping. Yeah. Seventh step, eighth step is about the patience. Listen, I was walking around for years carrying with a coat on a coat hanger. And every time God was getting ready to let me off, I would pick up another hostage and get right back on the hanger. I'd be getting ready to get off again. And I would get, you know why I would get back on? Because the pain of withdrawal. No pain, no gain. Because you, one of the things I realized, they say my inability to accept personal responsibility actually create my own problem. Because I'm self-willing, I'm getting all these problems. Now, God is trying to relieve me of my problems, Brian. But I just can't be still and patient long enough for him to do it. But this time, baby, I'm in for the long haul. Yeah, I'm going to celebrate 4 years by myself, abstinent, free, single, and satisfied, and successful. Yeah. No, nobody don't like that. You got to be married with degrees and all that. Oh, yeah, right. I'm talking about what this program affords you to do is stand up in your own self. Be able to look the world in the eye and be grateful for who you are. Isn't that who on your hip? It's not what's on the wall. It's not the initials in front of my name and back of my name and society looking at me at this quote-unquote something. It's how I see myself. Hell of a thing, you got all that stuff and then you get up from this certain place and after you finish, you say you ain't shit and you ain't never going to be shit. With all that stuff. My disease need to be quiet. And the only way you quiet a disease is with steps. Guess what? Willpower don't work. That's right. It's like a sheer damn stocking. It runs out. Let me tell you something. This goddamn disease will wait on your clean time, good sharing ass. Working steps. Talking the shit and ain't living shit. You got to live this shit. This shit is real. You don't live this, your own life is at stake. Page 74, I'll stay there. I'll stay there if this disease is not put under arrest. You sign your own death warrant. Because guess what the reality of it? Some of us don't want to use so bad, we'll kill ourselves. Yeah, I got friends who killed themselves. I got sponsors in rigor mortis at 7. Yeah, because they want to come in here and play with the program. That shit is serious. This is a matter of life and death. There's some serious shit here, I'm telling you. And guess what, newer person? You have been rescued. Don't let the people with time scare you. A lot of times we get all them problems because we self-will, cause us many problems. But when you line up with this program, and you line up with the will of God, and you take the steps, and you begin not to say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to reduce my own harm. God, I'm going to live for you and not for me. I'm going to do what you want me to do. It's the hardest thing in the world to flex some self-discipline. Say no when you want to say yes. It's the hardest thing in the world not to seek instant gratification and wait for some long-term freedom. Hardest thing in the world is to be still. But the step process gives you the ability, a strength that you don't have on your own. Nine steps say, woo, reciprocity. Listen, God had already rescued me, saved me for all this. I'd be damned if I'm going to put some more stuff in my life. Tell him a thing, you come here and still be making us lists. No, that was my miracle. My miracle that my list was about me, Brian. That was my miracle. I was like, damn. That was a miracle. I woke up one day and my list was about me. And, you know, because they say most of all we harm ourselves, but most of us go past that. You be loving them and losing you. This program is the best thing that ever happened to me. It rescued me from insanity, poverty, and death, not yesterday, today. When you live here to principles and you stay relying on God and you pray, you don't do what you want to do. You do what you have to do. It's a great freedom when you ain't bonded by your feelings, how you feel. I feel this, I feel that. Feeling is in fact, it's just a fact that you feel it. After 7 minutes, you hold on to it. And because of the nature of this disease, if you ain't working those steps, you're going to hold on to it all the time. Because that's all that we know. Because it says in our literature that pain is familiar. Well, I'm going to tell you, pain is familiar, but suffering is optional. I can't do the pain. I'm sorry. You know, I ain't one of the people who lie to myself no more. You know, I got a hard time with some pain. Brian, I never could handle it. And because I couldn't handle it, God sent me to the program in Narcotics Anonymous and realized that substance and self-worth is the real value. That I can be by myself and stand before you and be somebody special. Yeah. I can look the world in the eye and I ain't got to tell you all this stuff. I got things that don't make me who I am. You can feel my spirit. Feel the love that God is just flowing through me, right? Just feel it. That's because of the work. That's the freedom that God gives you and this program gives you and these people give you. If you stay connected, you stay protected, you'll be all right. I didn't get here on my first time through the steps. I didn't get here through my second time. I didn't even get here on my fifth time. It was my seventh time through the steps that I'm here and I'm still going through them again. Because if I got as much as I got one time, I can get to this and say, what's good for one phase ain't good for the next. Right. So you want to stay up there and live off the residue and the cobwebs and the smoke screens and act like I recovered one time. Yeah, right. You didn't smoke one time. They'd be like hating too. I'm going to say this and be quiet. That the part that I don't like is that y'all gave me this. Then they get mad when you share the spirit. Or who she thinks she is. Damn. Really, if you want what we have to offer, and you really do make the effort to get it, you're ready to take certain steps. This is a free gift. Freedom ain't free, but the gift is free. You know what's so sad? It'll be somebody come behind you that you will sponsor. They'll get it, and it'll pass you. Skip a whole generation. Why? Because you want to self-will and chase that society. Misinterpret our literature, because our literature says this is a society within a society. Our symbol talks about the in a society, not out there. And then you want to live up to social susceptibility, and it don't equal recovery. Recovery is an inside job that's only implicated through spiritual principles and spiritual reality that God only conducts when you get in a position to say, I'm broken. Fix me. Fix me now, because you know what, God? If you let me run off my stuff, and what's more beautiful than that? When you wake up one day, he done removed some stuff. Listen, we do recover. They be mad at me. I ain't going to be ashamed of how miserable I am, because I ain't. I'm spiritually refreshed and glad to be alive. Thanks for letting me share.